And we're going to talk about some things here relating to a man by the name of Stephen. He is a fascinating individual. And, you know, I was reading some things about Stephen, and one commentary suggested he might have been part of the 70. You say, well, who's the 70? Hold your place here in Acts 6 for a minute. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. And I'll say why I believe this in a minute. I thought, wow, I never even thought of that before. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. This is above and beyond the 12. Okay? And sent them two by two before his face. Now, I thought that was interesting. I heard someone say today, if you get before God's face, you'll get into his faith. If you get before God's face, you'll enter into his faith. I never saw that before. Into every city and place whither he himself would come. You ever wonder why Billy Graham has such successful crusades everywhere he goes? I heard this. He sends out people 2 years ahead of time before he's going into a place. And they open up an office there. And they begin working with the churches. They begin networking so that when he comes, it's prepared. Notice these 70 were going to the places before Jesus was going to get there. And he said, truly the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Isn't that true today? We got more harvest than we do laborers. So what did the Lord say? Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And he told them to go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Imagine that. He's sending them lambs as among wolves. You know, in nature, a lamb is a wolf's dinner. But then he said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to you, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Not everybody's going to receive the gospel. And in the same house, remain. So wherever you get connected with people of peace, that's good to fellowship and hang out with. Okay? Eating and drinking whatever things they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. I like that. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. Heal the sick that are there. Say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And anyway, to make a long story short, they came back and they were excited. They said, even the devils are subject to us. Say, the devil's subject to me. Subject. As long as you're in Christ and in Jesus' name, the devils are subject to you. And Jesus said, don't worry that the devils are subject to you. He said, be concerned that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I saw Satan fall like lightning. You can read that in verse 19. Anyway, let's go back to Acts 6 now. Okay? And look at verse 3. The apostles got this idea because things were expanding so fast and so rapidly that they needed help. And he said, look out among you, 7 men. And he gave these qualities: of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. And the apostle said that we can appoint over this business. And the apostles then were going to dedicate themselves to the word of God and prayer. So I want to look at these things, honesty and the power of honesty in the Holy Spirit. You know, since the Holy Spirit, since the first word in his title is holy, then honesty sure goes along with him, doesn't it? What does it mean to be honest? It means to be honorable or truthful. Someone who's honest, they're associated, they're in agreement with the truth. Okay? That's important. Someone who is honest, they're fair in dealing with others. They spoke of Cornelius. Anybody know of Cornelius? Acts chapter 10. They said he was a God, he was righteous and a God-fearing man. He was respected by all. To have an honest report is to be righteous, is to be God-fearing, and is to be respected by all. Those outside of the church world. Those who may know you or may have dealt with you. You know, if people don't respect you, it's going to be hard to witness to them. There's been many people who have been hurt by Christians treating others disrespectful. And how we treat others is a pretty good indication of how we treat God. To have an honest report is when brothers speak well of you, talking about the body of Christ. Acts 16:2. When people speak well of you. Okay? When to have an honest report is to be a devout observer of God's word and highly respected by all. You can write down Acts 22:12 as a reference. To be devout, to be a devout observer. What did God tell Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So you got to speak the word. You shall meditate in it day and night that you what? May observe to do according to all that's written in. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Right? So God told Joshua to meditate so that he could observe. To have an honest report, why don't you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's just look at this for a minute. See, if you didn't know what having an honest report was, it'd be kind of hard to appoint, to pick out the people that need to be appointed for this work. Amen? What kind of work does God call a person to? Did you know that you're called with a holy calling? The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. It's with a holy calling. Why? When God calls people, who are they representing? They're representing God. They're representing Jesus. Did you know that you're an ambassador of reconciliation? You've been authorized by God to reconcile people with God. God needs people in the earth that will reconcile those who are lost with God. How do you reconcile someone with God? You tell them what God has done. You tell them how much God loves them. You tell them about what God has done for you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, those who are outside, your neighbors, those who you do business with. It's important. You know, the Bible says, what is it? A good name is better than riches. God wants you to have a good name. Then, them which are, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filth or lucre. Amplified says that the deacons must be worthy of respect, not shifty or double talkers, but sincere in what they say. Aren't you glad God is not a double talker? God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And what he said will stand. He has the final say on all things. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Why am I going through this? Because Stephen had these qualities. He had these characteristics. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Next thing, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what do you need to do? Think on these things. If you want to have an honest, if you want to live an honest report, you got to think on an honest report. Say this. Say, my mind is not a waste dump. In other words, anything toxic that someone wants to bring your way, you do not have to accept. What's toxic? Anything against those things that we just read. If someone wants to spew hatred, hatred is toxic. Complaining is toxic. How do I know? When the Israelites complained, God sent fiery serpents. Okay? Now, let's go back to Acts 6. It is important and it is right to serve the body of Christ, but God just doesn't allow anybody to serve. Okay? Verse 5. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. He was first listed. He might have been the leader of this group. He was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And obviously, he must have been of an honest report because that was one of the qualifications that the apostles said they had to look for. So, someone who was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, he must have been walking with Jesus for a while. He could have very easily been part of the 70. Because Jesus was only walked the earth. I mean, he only ministered for 3.5 years. And then after 3.5 years, he went. So Stephen could have easily been one of the 70. The Bible doesn't give us who all the 70 were, but he could have easily been one. Why? Because he was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Ghost. See, when you're full of faith, faith is going to come out. People who are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, results occur. When you're full of faith, you're going to bring people into the kingdom of God. Why? Because faith isn't just for you. When you're full of something, don't you want to share with others? And it's hard to share with others if you're not full of something. If I don't have any more food on my plate, I can't share my food with you. There has to be something on my plate in order for me to share, right? So you've got to be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit and of an honest report. These two go together. And then verse 6, they brought them before the apostles. They laid their hands on them. They set them in place. And what happened in verse 7? What happened? Word of God spread. What else? Multiplied. Disciples multiplied. Are we supposed to make converts or disciples? Go into all the world and make disciples. They multiplied. How? How did they multiply? In Jerusalem, how did they multiply? Greatly. Don't you love the adjectives that God uses? If he'd have just said multiplied, we know that that brings increase, but he said multiplied greatly. Now he's talking exponentially. Oh, Pastor, you're talking math terms. You just lost me. Even the priests were obedient to the faith. When you got God's people who are of honest report, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be multiplication, there's going to be increase, and God is going to use that to change the lives of others. God put us, he put you and I in this region for a purpose. There are people in this region that you and I need to reach. And guess what? You reach people I can't. There are people that you have influence over that I don't. God puts you there, and he wants you to be full so that you can effect a change. Say, I'm a change maker. You know, there's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Back in the Old West, they made a pistol called the peacemaker. It was the Colt, right? It wasn't a peacekeeper. It was a peacemaker. If you don't want to keep the peace, I'll make you keep the peace. You are a peacemaker. Well, I don't want to rock the boat. No. Sometimes you got to rock the boat. Listen, you don't get the nuts off the tree unless you shake the tree. Isn't that right? The nuts that grow on a tree, in order to harvest the nuts, they shake those trees. And when they shake the trees, then the precious fruit comes out. Sometimes, listen, God's got to shake some things sometimes. Sometimes he's got to shake you. Sometimes he's got to shake the church. Sometimes he's got to shake the house. Amen? Okay. Look at verse 8. So we know that Stephen was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was a waiter. He was taking care of the food distribution, right? Notice, now verse 8 says he was full of faith and power. And did great wonders, miracles among the people. Okay? So a person who's full of faith and the Holy Ghost is someone who's going to walk in power. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. If someone was to, have you ever seen someone influenced by alcohol? Okay? What happens when someone is under the influence of alcohol? They slur, right? Sometimes their behavior changes. Sometimes it makes them happy. Sometimes it makes them grumpy. It depends on the person. All right, look at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, Too much wine, excessive wine, will make you drunk. It will intoxicate you. And when you're intoxicated, whatever you're intoxicated by will affect your behavior. Okay? So he doesn't want us to be drunk with wine, but, everybody say but. That doesn't mean you can't be drunk with something else. But be filled with the Spirit. When the disciples were first filled with the Spirit, what did the people think? They thought they were drunk. But Peter said, they're not drunk like you think. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He just said, they're not drunk like you think they are. They're not drunk as you suppose. What is it then? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. How do you be drunk in the Spirit? You've got to speak. Look at verse 19. Okay, be filled with the Spirit. How do you be filled with the Spirit? That's actually translated, be being filled. That is current and ongoing. All right? Anytime you empty out your cup, you can get more in your cup. How do you be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves. In what? Psalms. Did God give us a book of Psalms? When you speak the Psalms, that could cause you to be intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. And hymns. Don't we have hymns? What's a hymn? It's a song. It's about Him. Amen? Amen. Listen, a hymn is not worth a hymn unless it's about Him. Right? That's why they're called hymns. If they're not about Him, Christ, if they're not about Jesus, it's not worth singing. There are some hymns that don't line up with the Word. Just because it's called a hymn doesn't mean it's of the Word. Okay? So, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, what's a spiritual song? It's a song that the Holy Spirit inspires you to sing. You don't know the words until He's given you the words. All of it just comes up out of you. There was a person at Rhema. He was one of my instructors. His name is Keith Moore. And every time there was a message, God would give him a song that goes right along with the message. It would be spur of the moment. It would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it would go along exactly with what was just preached. And he would get up there, and see, the Rhema singers and band, they were trained in two ways. They could read music, and they could play by ear. So he would start singing, and then maybe a couple choruses or a couple stanzas, then the band would chime right in, and then a whole song would be made. If you've ever listened to Keith Moore's music, we've sang some of them here before, but that's how his songs came about. I've been in services where he got up and sang at the spur of the moment, and it was incredible. But that's how you be filled with the Spirit. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. God wants you full of the Holy Ghost. He wants you full of wisdom. How are you going to be that? You got to be speaking. And then you got to make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Anybody just ever have a melody? You know, you just, sometimes you don't like the melody and you say, how did this get in my head? I got this thing stuck in my head. Amen? Well, when you're making a melody to the Lord in your heart, you know, you're in His rhythm. Amen? He's got you to a beat. All right? And you're making a melody to the Lord in your heart. Then finally, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Listen, when my car was caught on fire, I didn't thank the Lord that my car caught on fire. I thanked the Lord that I wasn't harmed. Okay? It's not saying thank God for the bad things, but it's saying look for something good to give thanks to God for. This is all part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, finally submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that how Stephen did? Where did Stephen come from? He was right there in the midst of people. People saw Stephen. They heard Stephen. See, when you're full of faith, you're going to talk faith-filled words. You're going to have faith-filled actions. When you're full of faith, people might call you a fanatic. What's a fanatic? It's someone who loves Jesus more than you. I'm a fan addict. Amen? Well, I'm an addict too. I'm a Bible junkie. Say, I'm a Bible junkie. Let's go back to Acts. Listen, God wants his people full of the Holy Spirit and full of his word. You need both. If you have all spirit and no word, you blow up. If you have, let's see, how does it go? All word and no spirit, you dry up. But you need the word and the spirit together to grow up. Let's go back to Acts 6. And then, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word, you become a threat to the enemy. And yes, the enemy will try to squash you. He'll try to put you down. He'll come against you. But understand this, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So it doesn't matter how hard he comes against you, you can actually come against him. Notice. Okay, so people were starting to argue with Stephen. Look at verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Why does God want you full of the spirit and full of an honest report? And full of the faith. Why does he want you to do that? Why does he want you to be full? What's the ultimate cause of why you're here on this earth? Give him glory, but make disciples. You are here to affect someone else. If you think you're just here for you, you're selfish. You are here for others. You are here to be a vessel of honor. What's a vessel? Something that something else can flow through. And you're supposed to be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Listen, when you're full of faith and when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be prepared for every good work. It is preparation. Do you know how long I studied this Bible before I ever preached? A long time. But when I look back on my life, we had 3 truck stops in our area where I lived. They were open 24 hours. You could get a pot of coffee for $1. And there was no time limit. So oftentimes, we would leave church and we would go out to the coffee shops. And we would discuss things. And I can remember back then, before I even knew that I was called, people would say, well, I'm believing God for this, or I'm believing God for that. And my response was, you'll understand why things are the way they are now when I tell you this. I would always say, well, what scripture are you standing on that for that? And, oftentimes, in my zeal and lack of knowledge, I would kind of annoy people with that, but... Do you understand why we put all of our scriptures in the bulletin now? Because that was my thing. That's my gift. My gift is to bring people into the inheritance, to let them know what they have been given in God's word, to help them find their treasure and inheritance in God's word. That's what God's called me to do. So they couldn't resist the wisdom by which he spoke. And then in chapter 7, you know, the Bible says that whenever you stand before kings or those in authority, he said, don't worry about what you're going to have to say. You don't have to sit down and write a sermon when you're called on the carpet by those in authority. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will speak through you. And Stephen, he just began to share, and the Holy Spirit spoke through him, and he dealt with everything that they were accusing him about. And he took them through the history of Abraham, Moses, Joseph, and all of them, and he brought them to Christ. See, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, yes, you will have opposition, but you have the ability to overcome the opposition. God will give you the words to say. He will give you the things to do. He'll bring things to your remembrance that you didn't even think of. And let's go to chapter 7. And I mean, he just went off. We would call this expository preaching. Right? He just took them through Bible history in just one moment. And then finally he gets to the heart of the matter. Look at verse 51. He's dealing with these people now who are disputing, who are arguing, who are coming against him. And you know what? They couldn't even bring a good case against Stephen. They had to get false witnesses to testify. The Bible says that they were false. And then he tells them, he says, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. You can tell when someone is not full of the Holy Ghost because they offer resistance to him. When he's telling them to do something, they'll be like, no. They're letting the voice of the, like, let's just take witnessing, for example. You get this impression, I want you to go talk to so-and-so. And you look at so-and-so and you say, no, I don't want to talk to so-and-so. I don't want to talk. The Holy Spirit said, go talk to so-and-so. And you're like, no. What are you doing? You're resisting. If you resist long enough, the Holy Spirit will quit speaking to you and he'll find someone else. And he talks about how they persecuted the prophets. And verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, I didn't look that up or anything, but I get this picture like when the linebacker's about to tackle a guy, and he goes, oh, and he's about to put him into the ground. That's what I think gnashing their teeth is. That's just my impression. Look at verse 55. Did he lose any of the Holy Spirit facing opposition? No. Being, underline that word being. He was full when he started. He was full in the middle. And he's still full. Why? He kept himself full. It's up to you to keep yourself full. It's up to you to stay by the spout where the glory comes out. When you're thirsty, what do you do? When you're hungry, what do you do? That's what we need to do spiritually. When you're feeling run down, you need to, oh, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I just want to sleep. You make yourself go. Besides, who's in control anyway, you or your body? Being full of the Holy Ghost. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, things are going to happen. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, not everybody's going to like what you say. But you're going to speak the truth because the Holy Spirit always is associated with the truth. He's never away from the truth. Okay? He looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see things differently. You're going to look into a realm of the unseen. The unseen realm is more real than the seen because the unseen made the seen. It's just that you got to be in the Spirit to see the seen. You got to have the Holy Spirit pull back the curtain so that you can see. And it was his being full that caused him to see. He saw the glory. He looked into heaven. Heaven was opened. He's looking up in heaven. These people are coming at him and he could care less because he's seeing heaven. He's seeing the prize. He's seeing the goal. He's looking up to heaven. And saw the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What does Jesus normally do at God's right hand? He sits. But in this moment, Jesus was giving him a standing ovation. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will cheer you on. Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. He saw Jesus standing. Jesus is like, go, Stephen, go. Come on, man. You can do it. And he told the people, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, these were people that he accused of killing him. He didn't accuse them, he just told them. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Boy, that message was really received, wasn't it? And ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. God wants you full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith to minister to others. Now watch what happens. I'm almost done. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He doesn't even feel the stones hitting his body. Now, when they stoned a person, they would put him on a lower place, and people with rocks the size of your fist would throw with all their might at your head to kill you. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I want you to notice something. Saul, who would later be named Paul, heard how Stephen forgave. He saw how he treated the people that were stoning him. I guarantee you that what Stephen did here led to the conversion of Paul. God used a man who was full of the Holy Spirit and who was full of faith and who was of honest report. He used him to minister to people while serving tables. If you don't think that what you're doing in the kingdom is significant, let me tell you something. When you got the Holy Spirit, when you got God's word, it is significant. When you teach kids, it's significant. When you make food, it's significant. When you help someone in any way, it is significant. Because we may never know the impact that we have on people until we get to heaven. So my point is, those who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Word, they're going to serve others. and they're going to keep on serving. Because you get your energy and your strength from being full of the Holy Spirit. And what we have about Stephen, it seemed like he got more zealous as he went on. He didn't give in. There wasn't an attitude of quitting or stopping or giving up. It didn't matter what he faced. It didn't matter what came against him. It didn't matter what the results were. He was prepared to die. Why? Because he already had his citizenship in heaven. He already knew where he was going. And when you know where you're going, death has no sting. So God wants each and every one of his believers to be full. I told you how to get full. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks unto God for all things, and submitting yourselves one to another. That's how you maintain your fullness. That's how you maintain your glow. When you're not speaking, when you're not ministering, you're like a dead sea. A dead sea has no outlet, only an inlet. It only takes in, it doesn't give out. If you're not giving out in some way, you will dry up. Or you'll become spiritually bloated, unable to do anything. But see, that's not God's will for you. He wants you full. He's given you the provision to stay full. He'll fill you. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. David said, Psalm 23, he anoints my head with oil, and what, my cup runs over. Why does it run over? That overrunning cup helps you to minister to others. You got to minister out of the overflow. You got to have more to minister to others than just enough for yourself. Now, if anybody needs prayer tonight, I just want you to come up right now. If you can play something. And if you need to be full, you start speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. If you don't know what to say, look up psalms. And start speaking. Everyone that was full spoke. When Elizabeth was full, she spoke. When Zechariah was full, she spoke. When Mary was full, she spoke. Read it, Luke 1. Everyone that was full, there's going to be a reaction. It's the normal, the primary way to react is to speak. But it can also be in other actions as well. Some people think that, man, if the only action I got to take is to speak, speaking is so insignificant. Really? Well, when God spoke, the world was created. So I guess it's not too insignificant. Speak to yourself. Encourage yourself. Tell your body what to do. Amen? And if you need prayer for anything, we want to lay hands on you tonight. And we want you to come up right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God loves you so much.
Some of the songs were talking, they were sung as an individual, and they talked about God's love for the individual, for me, he did it for me. And the Lord spoke to me that there's somebody here, or a number of people here, that need to know that God loves you as an individual. If you were the last person on the earth, Jesus Christ still would have died for your sins, for you. He died for you as an individual. David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, David got it. He knew that God was a personal God. God knows your every intimate detail. He created you. And he knows what you're going through, when you're going through it. God's not bound by time or space. So he's already, he right now, it's hard to understand and comprehend, but right now, he is in our yesterday, and he is right now in our tomorrows. He is already there. So whatever you're going to face, God's already there. He is the God of the present. He's the I am. So he is everywhere at all times. So he's already knowing what you're going to face tomorrow. He's already there, and he's with you already. So he is a God of the individual. He knows whatever you're going through, whatever you're thinking before you even think it. So he wants you to know that he loves you as an individual.
Amen. That's a good word for someone.
We have to see God that he doesn't play catch up with us because he's already there.
Yes.
We're the ones that have to get caught up with what he's there to do.
Amen.
And that's the good. Way we get caught up with it is by what we say.
Yes.
So when we get there, what we say would either bring what he has there for us, or it will send it away. Do you see? So our words then, when we speak it, we're speaking it by faith, because we're believing that what he has there for us, we actually can take.
Amen.
And it's really up to us. So what Tony was saying, God's already in the future, that's true. He's beginning, he's end. So everything's been prepared along the way. It's just when we get there, what do we say? Because that's what makes the difference. It doesn't have to be manufactured. It doesn't have to be created. It's already been prepared. So like whatever age you are in life and everything, you know, stuff starts deteriorating or whatever, it doesn't have to stay that way. Like when you get there, he's there new. He can make all things new. So if you say that, you get to participate with new. You know what I'm saying? If there's a certain part, you get to a certain area in your life, and that part in your life is supposed to be a change, guess what? He's got the change you need. Like he's got the change of clothing, he's got the change of anointing, he's got the change of opportunity. It's all there. It's just our words decide what we get to take with us and what we leave behind. Because the deal is we're moving ahead, but it's what we leave, you know, as we go.
Amen. That's like the icing on the cake.